Green is brought to you by Galinda Moser of Remax Living.
Hello, I'm Glynis Crook. Welcome to the show and happy Easter to those who celebrate it. It's one of my favorite times of the year, as I feel I have a license to eat lots of chocolate without feeling too guilty, which was why I was delighted to discover a real gem in the city centre, a cafe that is an ode to everything chocolate, from bars to cakes and drinks. But don't forget that chocolate comes with an environmental price, from the ingredients to the manufacturing process and the packaging. So when I met Honest Chocolate co-owners Anthony Gerd and Michael de Klerk earlier this week, I asked Anthony how they go about making their product as sustainable as possible.
So we've decided to source from a specific area in Tanzania, and there's a social enterprise called Coca Kamili, and they've worked with farmers to basically certify the farms organic and to practice sustainable farming. And they've also, what they've done is they've centralized fermentation. So beans have to be fermented to get the flavor. And they've said, okay, we'll actually get the beans from the farmers, we'll transport it to town and ferment it together in one place. So we get quite a standardized, high-quality fermentation. And therefore, the farmers can get paid a higher price for the beans. So that's sort of sustainable in environment, but also sustainable in a business for a farmer. Because a lot of the farmers are small scale, and sometimes it's just not viable to take the effort of fermenting cacao and then actually then selling it on. So it kind of helps the farmers, but also get a higher price as well.
Why was this of any importance to you?
It's a good question. You know, when we first started making chocolate, it was just like, oh, let's have fun. And then when I realized, you know, the chocolate industry is not a great space in terms of a lot of unethical practices, especially in West Africa, and it became, okay, well, maybe we can make a small difference here and change the way people see chocolate.
You also got your efforts to include lots of local flavors in your chocolate, including things like buchu and rooibos, which are particularly Cape Town based.
Yeah, I mean, we love the flavors coming out of Cape Town. You know, there's so many beautiful things. And we thought, why not use it in the chocolate? Because we love it. We drink rooibos, you know, we drink buchu. And also, you know, for us, it was quite important to make something for tourists. And this is something local, people can take home, it's special, you know, and that's why we did that as well.
And I assume it's also highlighting the importance of, notably, our fynbos.
Exactly, yeah. And I think even locals don't actually know where buchu comes from or what it is. A lot of people do, but we do workshops once a month at our factory, and you can just book it online. And when we bring out the buchu, you know, only like two or three people actually out of 20 actually identify it. So it's a little bit of a nice learning as well. People go, oh, that thing, or I've heard of that. And then we can tell them where it grows and the Cedarburg, and only there, it's very special to this country and some of the benefits. So it's a bit of education as well.
Now, I know that you make a vegan-based chocolate as well. How do you do that?
So, you know, really all dark chocolate should be vegan anyway, because you're going 70%, all you're really having is cocoa beans and a sweetener, which is what we do in our plain 70%. It's actually the only two-ingredient chocolate in the country. But obviously, commercial companies might put some oil, some vanillin, lecithin to help their machines run. But that's pretty much just what we do. Keep it very simple. I don't want to use the word clean. There's still sugar in the sugar one, and there's coconut sugar in our alternative one. But really, it is vegan by nature. Our truffles and our milk chocolate is also vegan because we actually love the taste of the coconut in the truffles and the oat milk in the chocolate slab. And it literally just tastes better. And that's the first thing. The first thing, it's got to taste amazing. The second thing, cool. You know, everybody can eat it. So then it's a bit more universal.
Now, I believe that one of the other things that makes chocolate environmentally unfriendly, if you like, is the packaging. And I think you've gone to an effort on this part as well.
Yeah, you know, in everything we do, we're trying to have a minimal impact. And we don't want to use any plastic. You know, we use foil for the slab, and we have to have something to wrap it in. And then a cardboard box, which is recyclable. But yeah, we can't avoid everything, but we do basically the minimal we can.
Now, you get your cacao from East Africa, but big producers in West Africa, they've been having terrible trouble with climate change. There's also in El Nino, which is having an impact this year. Long term, there is going to be an impact from climate change, not only on the production, but also on the cost of the chocolate that we eat.
No, exactly. It's been coming for a while in the West Africa, and luckily for Tanzania, we haven't felt that yet, but there's been a few crop failures in Ghana and Ivory Coast, and that has put a lot of pressure on supply. There's just not enough cacao and way too much demand. So prices are going to increase. Of course, the market price for cacao there has doubled in a year, I think they said. So most chocolate makers, especially the big players that get from West Africa, they would have bought a year in advance already. But in about a year or less, the chocolate prices are going to go up dramatically, I think, especially for commercial chocolate.
This is obviously creating income insecurity for farmers. And one of the reports I read suggested that producers and chocolate makers should be assisting in any way that they can. I understand that this is obviously more at the level of governments and at the level of big chocolate producers. But as a small company, what do you think that, is there anything that you could do to assist?
It's a good question. You know, we haven't got to that stage yet. And I think the very basic we could do is then apportion a percentage of our income back to the farms to rehabilitate when it affects us or our farmers. At the moment, it's not affecting us in Tanzania. But I think that the big players do have a responsibility where it's happening now in West Africa. But I think most of the money is made by the big chocolate sellers. So I think there is definitely a responsibility for all of us, especially them, to then step in and say, okay, well, you know, let's try and transfer some of this back to the farmers to make it sustainable, because those farmers, if they stop farming, your chocolate business is doomed anyway. So I think it's definitely something that we should all do. Yeah.
Thanks to Anthony Gerd, co-owner of Honest Chocolate, and it really is worth a visit to their charming cafe in Whale Street, close to the Boer Kaap, to have, well, not afternoon tea, but afternoon chocolate. To find out more, visit their website, honestchocolate.co.za. And that's it for this week. Till next time, from me, Glynis Crook, take care and goodbye. Being Green was brought to you by Galinda Moser of Remax Living.
For Galinda Moser, founder of Remax Living, life is all about people, their homes, the environment, and of course, music. Because of Galinda's passion for property, Remax Living has become the largest property office in Cape Town. When selling your home, email Galinda at remaxliving.co.za. As your trusted property partner, Remax Living is by far the best way to sell and buy real estate. Remax, the leaders in real estate.